Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Churches. Thanks for listening to our message this week. At Port Colden, we celebrated a baptism, and at Broadway, we were celebrating our youth group. And so the message is a little bit different for each church, but still covers the same message. We continued with God's big story, and so the scripture this morning is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of God. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, and they had lived there about 10 years, until both of her sons died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that they would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "Will we go back with you to your people?" But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight, and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have a great week. First off, it is great to see all of you. I originally had written my sermon about Wednesday. And I had spent the whole week thinking about my mother, and it turns out my mother is here with us as well this morning. She surprised me at my first service this morning, and now she's here. So I apologize, Mom, that I'm going to call you out for a little bit. But my mom, when I was younger, gave me a bunch of advice that this week especially has been very useful. The first piece of advice she gave me, I was 13 at the time, my mom had said to me, Jesse, when a girl is talking to you, and she met my girlfriend at the time, when your girlfriend says what to you, it's not that she didn't hear what you said, it's that she's giving you a chance to change what you said. Jesse, my mom said, when you ask your girlfriend what's wrong, and your girlfriend says, "Oh, nothing," it's never nothing. And the one that has been the most helpful for me as a pastor is that when your girlfriend or when your wife, when
you, but a friend comes to you and starts to complain. When she starts ranting about her day, don't try to fix everything. Just let her complain for a minute. Shake your head and frown at her and say, "Oh, sweetheart, that's horrible. Sweetheart, that's so bad. I'm so sorry." And that's something as a pastor has become very, very useful for me. Especially when people are mourning, especially when people are struggling, to not try to offer platitudes. To not try to say, "Well, God wills it." Instead, to sit with them and say, "Darling, that is awful. That is horrible. I am so, so sorry." Now please remember, again, I wrote my sermon on Wednesday. A lot has happened since Wednesday for me. And I'm going to share a little bit of it because it all relates back to Ruth at some point. On Thursday, I typically it's mostly the Port Bolton folks in the room, and so I can tell stories that everyone kind of goes, "Yeah, okay, we get it." I have to explain a lot more this morning, and that's okay. I have a girlfriend, and my girlfriend has been attending Port Bolton. She sits in that general area over there, and so usually when I say, you know, my friend Alyssa, the one who sits over there, everyone knows who I'm talking about. The majority of you don't, but that's okay. I have a girlfriend, she's amazing to me, and we only have been dating for about 6 months. On Thursday, her uncle passed away. And her uncle's been battling cancer for about 19 months, and we got the text on Wednesday while we were at school together, and Thursday she had classes. So Thursday I drove her to Central PA, about 2.5 hours away in PA. And you got there, and Thursday night you passed away. And reminded of my mom's advice, not that Alyssa was complaining, but that in mourning, as a Christian, in mourning, we get awkward. We get really awkward when people are mourning. We say things like, "Well, they're in a better place now." We say things like, "It's okay, this was God's plan." We say things that don't really make us feel good. And so instead, all I said to Alyssa was, "I'm sorry. This is awful. I will be with you. I'm going back to your parents' house." And I met her sister for the first time. And because of my past 48 hours, the Ruth text was perfect. talk about Ruth and Naomi, and then we'll say amen, and then we'll give baby Ruth, bring him back. That's pretty much what we're doing today. So, in the land of Judah, at the time of Judges, is one phrase in the Bible that we could spend months unpacking. In the time of Judges, there was a famine. In the land of Bethlehem lived a man named Elimelech. And already, I can see a couple of people with glazed over faces. That's okay. There's going to be a lot more of that in about 10 minutes. The author's making a couple of jokes in the very beginning of the scripture. He's saying, in the land of God, in Israel, there was a famine because the Israelites were sinning. There was a famine that was so bad that even in the town of Bethlehem, they were hungry. And this is joke number one. Bethlehem means house of bread. There was no bread in the house of bread. They were so hungry, even in the house of bread, people had to leave their towns. And so Elimelech, his name means God is great. And so the man who says God is great is leaving Israel to find food with the Moabites, which is now the third joke that's happening. What's up, dude? You want to come up here? That's okay. Maybe next time. Elimelech, meaning God is great, leaves the lands of Judah, leaves the house of bread, and goes to the Moabites, and the Moabites, and Mr. Howard asked me a couple weeks of Bible study, and I was not prepared for it. Who are the Moabites? Howard asked me. And I'm like, you know, Howard, I'm not sure. I'll look into it for you. It turns out this is the lead I looked into it. The Moabites were just not good people. They were the enemies of Israel. They worshipped another god. They did things backwards. They warred with Israel a lot. They lived just outside of Israel, but on the other side of the mountains. And so what's interesting is that Elimelech, God is great, and Naomi, and their two sons, and I can't pronounce their two sons or remember their names, but we're going to talk about them at Bible study, because their names are jokes as well. Elimelech and Naomi, and the two sons, go into the evil land of Moab. Sons die. And now every single one of you, besides looking at him, every single one of you is like, the pastor really start talking about death at a baptism service. You come up here? Come on. Let me out. That's fine. Go sit with me. Elimelech dies, and Naomi is left with her daughters-in-law and says, well, I heard that there's food in Bethlehem. Let's go back to Bethlehem. Now, Orpah says, I can't do it. I'm going to go back to my mother's house. Orpah, because every time I read the name Orpah, I think Oprah. It turns out that Oprah Winfrey's name is actually Orpah on her birth certificate. That people kept mispronouncing it, so she changed it to Oprah. So Orpah, which means the back of the neck, we're talking about that in Bible study. Orpah goes back to her home. Ruth, it says, clings to her mother-in-law, and begs not to be sent back.
No.
Clings is an interesting word that if we read in Genesis chapter 2, we see that Adam meets Eve for the first time. The narrator says, a man leaves his mother and father and clings to his wife. Clings to his wife. We've read that scripture in the 21st century context to say, the big S word, I can't say it because there are little ears here. You know the word I'm saying. Another way to read it, the better way to read the word clings, is not in that kind of way, but actually in a familial way. That a husband and wife cling to each other to support one another. That a baby clings to his mother. Oh, now he's doing it. Good. Right on cue. Thank you very much. I was worried. That a baby clings to his mother. That a family clings to one another in times of good and times of bad. This is the way you should read that word, that Ruth clung to Naomi. And then Ruth said the scripture I've heard at countless weddings, a couple of funerals, and now this morning at a baptism, which is just, I chose the text, but that's good. Ruth says to Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you live and where you dwell, I will live with you. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God wherever you die, Naomi. I will die with you. I will be buried right next to you, if at all possible." And this is the second kind of phrase that we need to look at again. Where you dwell, the Hebrew word is actually lodge. Where you lodge, Ruth says, I will lodge. Lodge has two meanings. The first one is this kind of dwelling that we understand, living together. The other phrase, and the other meaning that I like, is actually meaning to complain. Ruth says to Naomi, where you complain, I will complain with you. Where you sit down in the dust and complain that your husband has died, I will sit next to you and complain that my husband has died. Where you complain that God has dealt you a bad hand, I will be with you, complaining with you. We're going to be like two old women sitting on a cruise ship, drinking our wine and complaining. Where you go, I will go. Where you complain, I will complain with you. Where you mourn, I will mourn with you. It's no surprise that the scripture is read at weddings. It's also no surprise that the scripture is read at funerals. And today, I'd say it's no surprise that the scripture is read at baptisms. Because the story doesn't end here. If we had enough time, we'd read the rest of Ruth, but we just don't. Ruth goes to Judah and goes to Bethlehem, marries a man named Boaz. They have a son, and his name is Obed. Now, Obed is a good character in the Bible, but Obed's son is actually my favorite character in the Bible. Obed's grandson is King David. Can anyone guess who Obed's son is? Can anyone guess who David's father is? Jesse! I love Jesse. So Ruth, the Moabite, as she's called in the rest of the book of Ruth, Ruth the Moabite becomes the great-grandmother of King David. Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the stranger, Ruth the foreigner is what the author was saying. Ruth the foreigner becomes the great-grandmother of the best king we've ever seen. It's all right, Brady. I'm almost done. No, it's fine. I get it. He ate. Now he's a little... So Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the stranger, becomes the great-grandmother of King David. We're going to see King David in our bulletin insert that you have this week. But King David is a distant ancestor, either the 42nd great-great-great-great-great-grandfather or the 27th great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Jesus. And so Ruth the Moabite, Ruth the stranger, Ruth the foreigner is actually the 45th great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. That Ruth the stranger, Ruth the Moabite, is actually listed in the genealogy of Matthew. That her name, and it even says Ruth the Moabite, said, Ruth the stranger, Ruth the refugee, Ruth the immigrant, is a great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. And for my last piece of very neat stuff that I like today, baby Braden was born 16 weeks ago. Baby Braden was born 16 weeks ago in the year 2019. His great-grandmother is with us today. And does anyone know her name? Ruth! Oh, it all ties together. I'm happy. Woo! All right, I'm all sweaty now. We're almost done. This is great. All right. Where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you mourn and complain, I will mourn and complain with you. Don't send me away from you, it says to him. And it is in that space that in a couple of minutes we're going to baptize Braden. Braden was born on June 17th, 2019. I totally memorized that. 16 weeks old. And what I love is that he was born in the year 2019. And so when you see Braden, when you shake his hand and you kiss him today, this is a baby born in the year 2019. No kissing Braden. It's a sin. We're not having it. So when you look at Braden today, don't touch him.
It's flu season.
I get it. Just look at him. He was born in the year 2019. When he is 80 years old, and 80 is much older than anyone in this room, I know. When he is 80 years old, it will be the year 2100. When he is on a board of trustees at Port Colby United Methodist Church, following in his great-grandpappy's shoes, it will be the 22nd century. He'll look at that day, and he'll look back to the day he was baptized and say, there was this pastor called Jesse, I don't even know what his last name was. He baptized me. The room was full according to the laws and the writings of the day. Those people came together to celebrate my baptism. Friends, this is huge. I'm getting all sorts of like goosebumps thinking about it. There is a person of the 22nd century in our midst. There's probably three or four of them. That is huge. That is huge. There are people in this room who are teachers and leaders and parents of the 22nd century. There are people in this room who are only here because we have been here before them. There are people in this room, anyone, all right, I'm just close. There are people in this room that are going to look back and say that we were raised as Christians because of the people in this room. There's a bit of our liturgy, we're going to read it in a couple of minutes, a bit of our liturgy in your hymnal that says, I ask you, will you support little Braden? Will you support each other? And on page 40 in your hymnals, the congregation is going to say in unison, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news. We will surround Braden in prayer. We will surround Braden with love. We will encourage him and each other to be good people. We will pray for him that he may grow up and to be a man of Christ. That in the year 22nd century, the man he will be because of each and every one of us here today. That we are shaping the future, not just the future we're going to see. I'll be long dead by this one. For about 80 years. It's a future that we won't see, a future that our children and our children's children will see. This is the future that we are baptizing today. This is why we're here today. Stephanie texted me this week. She says, look, Pastor Jesse, we got about 51 people coming to church. And I went, yes. Because I use this illustration throughout the rest of the year. All my regular people know exactly what I'm talking about. For those who are visiting, you are more than welcome to come back. But I like to bully my people and say that, you know, there are some weeks when we need more people here. There's some weeks when we miss people in our pews. And I said, look at Stephanie and Jesse. They reached out to all their friends, they reached out to all their family, and they said this one time, I need you to come to church with us. It's really important that you come to church on single one of them tries to teach us how to grow churches, this is the model that works. Feed them at your church, everyone will come after you. And so we are here to surround Braden in love. We are here to celebrate his birth. We are here to celebrate his life. We are here because in the year 2100, after I am long dead and gone, but most of you will still be here, Braden will be sitting on the board of trustees, he'll be sitting on church council, and he'll be deciding how the church should move into the 22nd century. And so we are here today, and a little bit of Methodist baptismal theology, if you want three real big words at once. What we are doing is not something that's magical. There's nothing magic in my hands. There's no, the word we used to use to make fun of Catholics was hocus pocus. If there are Catholics in the room, I apologize. I'm a seminarian. I don't know any better. Talk to my bishop. What we are doing today is celebrating that baby Braden has been blessed by God. What we are doing today is we are celebrating the fact that Braden is already loved by God, that Braden is already called by God, and we are celebrating that fact with a party. And I realize right now that Justin was Catholic, and so probably about half the room is Catholic. I apologize, but that's a good reason to have some Methodist theology there. Good enough. We are baptizing not that the Holy Spirit is going to come in this place, but we are baptizing that the Holy Spirit is already in this place. Not that baby Braden is somehow protected and magical after this afternoon, but he is already magical and protected from the moment he was born. Scripture says God knew us while inside the womb. Scripture says God knows the number of hairs on our head. Scripture says God knows the number of hairs on our beards. It doesn't actually say that. That's the Jesse version of the Bible. It's coming out in 2020. We are here for that little word. We are here because God has already blessed his parents. We are here because God will continue to bless him. We are here for the same reason Ruth was with Naomi. Where you go, I will follow. Where you complain, I will complain. Where you live, I will live. Your people will become my people. Your God will become my God. Where you die, I will die also. This is why we are here for baby breathing. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our sermon this week. This has been a joint Broadway and Port Colden United Methodist Church process. My name is Pastor Jesse, the pastor of Broadway and Port Colden churches. We hope you've had a great time listening today and have a blessed week as you go about your day. Please think about stopping in and joining us one Sunday. We'd be happy to have you. If you have any questions about the churches, about the message, or anything else that you can think of, please reach out to us at info@broadwaynj.org or info@portcoldenumc.org. Thank you and have a great day.